You guys, when I'm capturing the flag, you need to guard me! You need to guard me when I'm capturing the flag! Move out of my way!
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. Seth has joined the channel.
What the f*** is with this guy?
Paula has joined the channel.
No! God, please, no! No!
Negative Apex has joined the channel.
How overpowered these pistols are!
Enemy pentakill.
They're capturing C! They're capturing C! Oh my god, they're capturing C. Now we're gonna lose.
This sucks.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. I am your host, Lance, a.k.a. Seb, joined by my awesome friend, Josh, a.k.a. Negative Apex. Ian is not joining us today. He is unfortunately caught in a bad storm, and internet is just not working. So he unfortunately will not be with us tonight. Very sad. But anyway, what's going on, Josh? Man, how's it going?
It's going, man. I think Ian should try unplugging the internets and plugging it back in. That usually works.
Right, of course, you know, because I'm pretty sure him unplugging that's going to affect, you know, all the lightning and thunder going on around him.
No, I didn't say unplug his router. I said unplug the internets.
Oh.
You know, like they did in that,
South Park?
One South Park episode. Yeah, man.
Go to the actual internet, the big giant Linksys router.
Yep. Just unplug it and plug it back in.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it happens to all of us. Anyone that's a gamer understands how frustrating that can be when, you know, our internet's not working. It's like we don't know what to do. We're like running around in our house trying to figure out what to do. We can't live without our internet and our games. But
that's pretty true.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it is, though.
Dude, I'm excited, man.
Yeah? Are you excited? Why are you excited?
I am excited because the WildStar beta that's going to be this weekend.
Yeah.
10,000 codes were given out.
10,000, which is not a lot compared to how many gamers there are. Now,
yes,
this is
true. But
this is pretty cool.
If you pre-ordered the game, you've been able to play the beta. But some of us are cheapskates and don't want to pre-order a game that we haven't played, especially an MMO, considering the recent MMOs that you possibly may have invested in and been disappointed, like Rift and TOR and a few others.
I have to, you know, you're going to hate me, but I have to include Guild Wars 2 on that. For me.
Whoa! Oh, that hurts, bro.
I know.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
You cannot... Okay. TOR was a $60 game, and then you had to pay monthly for it.
Mm-hmm.
Rift was the same way. TOR, it's a $50 game, and you can enjoy it for the rest of your life.
Oh, you mean Guild Wars? Because you just said TOR again.
Guild Wars. I said TOR again, yeah. I meant Guild Wars, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You got a really good point there. You don't have to pay to enjoy the game. But I was just disappointed in the game in itself. I honestly... All it did was make me want to go play the original Guild Wars. So you can see.
I like the game.
I mean, yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad game.
I didn't like it enough to keep playing it. I kind of got bored with it, but I did really like the game.
But isn't that the point of an MMO? Like, what makes an MMO successful is how long you really keep attached to it. How long can you enjoy the game?
I mean,
how long did you play it?
There's plenty of people that... There's plenty of people that are still playing it. I played it I don't know, probably 6 to 8 months after it, you know, after it came out. I kept playing, and I don't know. I just got bored. I like healing, and there was no healing glass. So that kind of disappointed me a little bit. But
yeah, that
the game was really fun. I mean, I just kind of got bored. I like the traditional MMO, you know, kind of stuff. So
now, when you say traditional MMO kind of stuff, are you talking about WoW, EverQuest, Ultima? I mean, like, what do you mean, like, by that?
Yeah, I mean, you've got WoW, which is probably at this point the most traditional modern MMO. You know,
right.
WoW's still going strong. It's been out for years. we can call that probably the most traditional modern MMO. And it adheres to the typical raiding, dungeon, you know, the Holy Trinity, all of that stuff. And Guild Wars kind of took a different route than that. You know, they dodge around and...
Which I liked, you know, that. Like, I did like
tanks,
that, though.
There's no healers.
But I didn't like that
and
part.
I did like the dodging. I thought that was fun. It added a lot of mobility to the combat. But yeah, I didn't like the part that there was no tanks and there was no healers. And as far as like the PvP went, it felt really, really unbalanced. Like, there were so many weird builds that were just like overpowered. Like, I remember playing World v. World and this one rogue somehow was able to stay stealth
like the whole time,
but you weren't supposed to be able to do that, but he could.
Wow.
And it was just really annoying because he would just stealth attack us. And I don't think he ever managed to kill anybody, but it was just really obnoxious, you know?
Dude, nothing beats.
Game was good.
But wait. Nothing beats the Touch Rangers from Guild Wars 1. You remember those?
Yes, those things were freaking annoying.
I've got to say that out of any MMO, those were the most annoying.
What about Mace Rogues before they nerfed them? With like the infinite stuns. Yeah.
Wait, you're talking about in WoW?
Yeah.
The Mace Rogues. Yeah. Dude, I once saw a video of a rogue in World of Warcraft wearing nothing but pants, like underwear pants, and a skinning knife. And he went around killing people back to back. I mean, he was on a killing spree, just wearing no armor and a skinning knife. And at that point, I was like, okay, come on, Blizzard. I'm going to stop playing your game because you need to do something about that. That should not happen.
Yeah. Like, that's the perpetual disability of MMOs, is not being able to balance your classes.
I mean, it's...
Every MMO has had problems with that.
It's almost impossible. I mean, I'm trying to think of any MMO or any game, like even like shooters, like with balanced weapons. I mean, like... I don't think it's really possible for that to happen. I mean, do you?
Nah. I mean, you're always going to have the people that find that OP weapon or find a way to use something where the creator's didn't quite intend it. I remember playing in 2142. If you have had the improved the ammo regen thing. If you had that was improved, you could just chunk grenades like all day. And so you could get on like one of those small maps and just chunk grenades and just get like kill after kill after kill. And it's like, yeah, that's totally not working how intended.
But you know what's funny about that is even though that was a problem back then when Bad Company came out, that issue was still there in a different way. It was the grenade launchers. You didn't have the... I think it was Assault, and you had an ammo pack, because I think the classes automatically had an ammo pack. So you would throw down an ammo pack, grenade launch, reload, grenade. So it's like they were aware of the problem back then, and I can't remember if they fixed it or not, but they kept the problem around later. It was just kind of funny, I thought of. But speaking of Battlefield games, though... remember last week we were talking about GameSpy and their shutdowns? Well,
yes,
we have been assured. Yeah, we have been assured that the Battlefield games are safe. So everyone can rest easy. I believe it's listed every single one of the Battlefield games. Actually, let me open it up real quick.
It was the newer ones. It was I know it was at least 2142, Bad Company 2, and I don't remember their third one mentioned. Let's see. Oh, it was Battlefield 2. So Battlefield 2, Bad Company 2, and 2142. That's a lot of twos. But
I'm not sure
how the GameSpy servers themselves, I believe, are still shutting down. So I'm not sure if the article I read kind of indicated like maybe they're dedicating some of their own servers to these older games or what they're doing here, but at least you'll still be able to play them for a while. which is really cool because 2142 is a really good game.
Oh, yeah.
Bad Company 2 is a really good game.
Yeah, so after May 31st is when the official shutdown is commencing. So EA has put out a tweet that was kind of clarifying what they're doing, and they're saying that they're working on finding a transition. Of course, they're having technical hurdles to overcome, which doesn't really surprise me. Just, I mean, that kind of, you know, comes hand in hand. But they said that they will make an announcement when the time comes, and they'll be ready to share. So Battlefield fans, rest easy. I mean, we know they'll still stick around.
Yeah. Well, we also had from some other developers that Activision has stated that it won't be affected. Sega, Capcom, and Rockstar has said that they're researching solutions, but Ubisoft and 2K Games has not issued a comment on the GameSpy shutdown as of yet.
Hmm. I wonder how I feel about that. I'm sure that they'll stick around. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to let that happen to some of their games that they run. I'm trying to think of some of the ones that like Ubisoft and 2K have running on their GameSpy servers. I can't really think of any off the top of my head, but just the fact that, I mean, there's still so many people out there that are going to be playing a lot of older games that still want to enjoy that multiplayer experience, that it's kind of like if you let that game die just for whatever reason, whether or not it's financial reason or just because they're lazy, I mean, they're still losing customers for their future games too. I mean, I'm sure, you know, anybody who plays Battlefield 4 most likely has been playing, you know, Battlefield 2, 2142. You know, I feel like they would still stick around. It just seems like a smart decision to me.
Yeah, well, although GameSpy, which is probably most well-known, is shutting down, there are still other options besides GameSpy. There's other server hosting sites out there that you can use. To keep playing your older games. And I mean, we have to remember that all of these are older games and their servers have been shut down because they are older games.
Yeah.
And it's nice that companies are still supporting their older games, but we have to remember that they don't really have to keep supporting it. But there are other third-party sites that still do server hosting for these games.
Right. So we've been talking about older games and everything. So let's kind of switch to some of the newer games that are coming out. PAX East was this past weekend, and there was a lot of cool games that were announced, a lot of updates on things that we've already heard, a lot of indie games that were announced. But one in particular that caught my eye was Sony is showing off H1Z1, which they call it their zombie MMO, which is basically a lot like DayZ. The screenshots that are posted, I'll go ahead and try to get them up on our Facebook page so anyone can see them. But the screenshots that were posted, and Josh, you know, feel free to comment on this, but it looks almost identical to DayZ. It even goes into talking about some of the features that it's a lot of the stuff that everyone wanted to be DayZ. It just seems like it's, you know, that game on a better engine, which is, I believe, the PlanetSide 2 engine, I think.
From the screenshots, it literally looks like they ripped that engine right out from Arma 2. Like it looks so close to DayZ. It looks a little bit, just a little bit more cartoony-ish, not as
it looks as, like realistic, close to the DayZ standalone, like not as close,
and just slightly cartoony, like, you know, like cartoony on the TOR side of cartoony. Right. Not,
I mean, yeah, you know, I can kind of see that. Yeah, the character does. I mean, but it actually looks a lot like the standalone, in my opinion, like the graphics. I think the graphics have better. The standalone has better graphics, but
this game literally looks like they are just straight up copying DayZ. Which, I mean, I guess how can you blame them? Why not? DayZ has been a extreme success.
I mean, honestly, I'm pretty optimistic about this because, I mean, let's face it, I really love DayZ, but I'm getting a little impatient with it. I mean, they're already saying that in a few months they're going to be allowing early access, and it's going to have all of these features that they're talking about. And some of the features are crafting, in particular base building, which is a really big thing to, you know, people who are in the zombie survival genre. It kind of looks like a mix between DayZ and Rust, honestly. Oh, excuse that.
That is a very good subscription.
Yeah.
I like Sony has done a good job on a lot of their games. One thing that I found interesting is, let me see if I can find this quote, is let's see here. He is talking about the hardness of the game, you know, how hard it's going to be. And he said that if this game is too hard for you, then go play another game, is basically what the quote said.
Hey, I can deal with, I can live with that
article, but yeah, well, it means that they're not compromising. And this is something else we talked about in another podcast, is that they're not compromising on the difficulty of the game. They want it to be a survival game. They want it to be hard like DayZ. That's something that it has attracted a lot of people to it. And a lot of companies these days don't want to make their games too hard because they feel like it, you know, lowers their interest in the game. How many different people are going to want to play the game? Right. And that means less money for the investors. But the quote that was in this article was saying that, you know, if you don't like how hard it is, if you're dying, you know, go play a different game. And I like that. I like that more developers, especially a mainstream developer like Sony, if this game is a success, we may be seeing harder and harder games from the mainstream developers instead of all of these indie developers.
Yeah, I can really appreciate that. I really prefer harder games nowadays as opposed to something easy. Of course, I mean, there's going to always be those times where I want to just relax and play an easy game. But for a game like this, no, I don't want it at all. And that actually kind of reminds me, they're talking about doing monetization, and basically that's not something that, you know, we really want to talk about or hear, rather, in something like this. It is a free-to-play game, but they're basically what the community or the Sony president or whoever, the community manager, thank you, that's what it was. Basically, he decided to put it out to the community and seeing what people thought on the matter. And he got a lot of, you know, not interested kind of feedback in selling weapons or power or anything that's going to make the process survival easier. So just like you said, if he's basically now, if the game is too hard, play a different one. So the map is going to be big. Oh, go ahead.
I found that quote here. It says, if this game is too hard for you, play another one. We don't want to give shortcuts for our core mechanic. So, you know, I find that really interesting that they're sticking to that core mechanic that they want, and they're not going to compromise on that.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that. But yeah, the map size, it says, quote, massive. So, you know, the only thing that worries me is, like, this is the same quote that War Z came out of. And when we actually found out the size of the War Z map, it was like a quarter of the size of DayZ. But it says that expect the game world to get even massiver. That's what he says. That's what expect it to get bigger.
Larger?
I don't know why it's worded that way, but yeah, it seems that they've rather plunk some players into the world first and see how they react to the game before they make it ginormous. But it sounds like their map editor is pretty flexible when it comes to size, so this shouldn't be too much of a problem.
I kind of see them like just kind of expanding the borders with their map editor, which would be pretty cool. It's something that I actually like that concept of a game. It is, you know, like a game like DayZ. Okay, just put the map out there. You've got a map, but then you could always, instead of like adding new maps, having to, you know, play on different maps and crap like that, just expand the borders, you know, just allow the players, you know, move back that invisible wall and add more content and just, you know, enlarge the map basically. And I really like that idea.
Yeah, and it sounds like it would just be very simple for them to do it, like the way they're describing it. So, like, when the time comes, it shouldn't take more, you know, it shouldn't take much effort for them to be able to do that. I really prefer, personally, larger maps to be ginormous, particularly, like, on DayZ. The map itself is already very large. I think it's, like, 270-something kilometers scaled. That in itself is huge. It's massive, but I still can't seem to find a good hiding spot. I still can't seem to find a good place to camp to where I feel secure and I'm not going to be ran across, you know, by a group of bandits, you know, going down the road or whatever. I want something where I feel like I have my own little space of forest that just belongs to me and that I'll never see another soul for who knows how long. You know, that and then, you know, the risk for me is leaving my camp, leaving my base to go out to go find supplies to run into. And then that reminds me, actually, one of his other quotes, he says that, so not to worry, the zombie apocalypse isn't going to be any fun if it's like a Disneyland or spring break and super crowded. We want remote hunting, kind of what I was just talking about, being scared when you see somebody again. Your first instinct needs to be to hide. If there are 20 players in your view, it's not a very convincing apocalypse, which I completely agree. I mean, how many times have we played DayZ and we've gone, you know, 2 or 3 hours without seeing a single soul on a map that has, you know, 50 players? You know, this is something that I'm really happy to hear, that they want to make it to where it's like you don't really see somebody for a long time, but when you do, you're scared out of your mind, which is the exact same thing that happens in DayZ. I just really hope that, you know, it's actually like that.
Yeah, they can come across with that same feeling and those same emotions. That would be that basically captured our hearts for DayZ. If they can simulate that, if they can copy that, then that'll be a great game. I think one thing that I think if they can do right, it'll make a great game and I'll probably play it. And it's the zombies.
Yeah.
DayZ has terrible zombie AI, terrible zombie mechanics. I think if they can get the zombies feeling right, if they can get them to be a threat and feel like they're real, feel like they're, you know, if you make a mistake, you're going to pay for it. And, you know, not have the zombies just be this kind of side nuisance and the real action is just slaughtering other players, then I think they're going to be doing a really good job with this game. They've already talked about how they want a really deep crafting system, how you're going to be able to build bases, craft weapons, explosives, all this other, you know, kind of stuff, you know, be able to fortify a building and take it over or just build a building from scratch. You know, all these games that either the standalone had or the mod had and that the standalone will eventually hopefully have, they're including all of these features. So if they can just get the zombies right, this game is probably going to be hands out a better game than the standalone because it has all of the features of the mod and the standalone. And if they can get the zombie AI right, then it adds that actual zombie apocalypse theme to the game that
right.
DayZ really doesn't have.
Yeah, it's really funny you say that because I remember one time I was showing DayZ off to a friend and they actually asked me, like, where are the zombies? Like, is this a zombie game? I was like, yeah, it is, but I get your point. Some of the features, the other features that we were talking about, you know, they're doing a lot of the same things, but they're also adding in a few things, like particularly fire. Fire is supposed to be quite an interesting element in this game. The fact that, hey, you don't like this patch of grass, guess what? You can burn it. You don't like the forest, guess what? You can burn it. Hey, you don't like that guy's base, guess what? You can burn it. That last part I don't particularly like because we don't really know how the servers are going to be and everything for like when logging off and everything is concerned. Like if I log off, is my stuff still going to stay in the world? Is my camp still going to be in the world? If I log off and a group, you know, of dickbags or whatever comes by and just burns down my base while I'm asleep. I don't know if I like that. But I don't know how easy it is for that to happen, but apparently it's very, you know, it will happen. The developer...
I actually never saw a quote for that. The only quote I saw about Fire was...
It's in the gameplay video.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, did you watch that, by any chance?
Okay. No, I just read the articles, and I saw it used for light, obviously, and as a weapon against infected.
Yeah.
So is there more to Fire than that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the gameplay video that we can post on our Facebook page. And it actually shows combat against the zombies and just how they move and the animations and everything. It again, yeah, it does use the PlanetSide 2 engine. So basically just think of that and as to how everything runs and smooth the animations are. Also, which reminds me, the fact that it does use the PlanetSide 2 engine does make me feel better that the servers will be able to hold, or the engine will be able to run, you know, lots of people on one map without any sort of issues. I just thought about that. That's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the PlanetSide 2 map, it's humongous. You have literally hundreds and hundreds of people playing on one map. So they could easily make a map larger than Chernarus and DayZ and have, you know, whatever number that they decide best for each server as to not, you know, overpack it. So yeah, that's totally a good thing, is using that PlanetSide 2 engine. It's not extremely taxing and it allows for those really large maps, which is going to be really good.
Yeah, I'm really excited. The game does look interesting. I am probably going to get the early access, which, by the way, the early access will be available in the next few months. It does not give a specific date, but it does give a price, which will be $20. So if you want to get into the, I guess you could say, beta or early access for the game, it'll cost you $20, but otherwise the game is free to play. So you would just have to simply wait, you know, maybe to the fall or to the end of the year. But if you want to go ahead and start playing it, you know, around the summertime, all you gotta do is pay $20. But I do not know if that means that the game will be a beta or a fully functional game by then. Again, me saying the summer is not what they said. That is just my guess by a few months from now. So if you feel like that'd be something cool to check out, and, you know, maybe if we get more information, which I'm sure we will, you know, tune in to Rage Quit and we'll make sure we get all the latest information out on this game. This is something that I'm actually kind of looking forward to. I'd love to see how it stands up against DayZ. Anyway, you got anything else on that comment on that game? To comment on that game?
No, not really.
You and I played Orcs Must Die quite a bit. I think we tried to do a YouTube series that didn't really do too well. But we played that game a lot, and they're coming out with another Orcs Must Die. This one is a little different, though. It kind of is describing it as a kind of MOBA-ish.
Would you describe this game as coming unchained?
It is. It's coming unchained. Wink. Good one.
Get it? Because, you know, it's called Orcs Must Die Unchained. Ah!
Oh, you're so weird. Anyway, Orcs Must Die Unchained is what it's called. Yeah, it's describing it as kind of MOBA-ish. And what does that mean? Well, there's multiplayer involved, not just co-op, which means you're going to be fighting against other players. Basically, you are pushing to the enemy's base. Think of Smite and, you know, any other MOBA combined. The reason why I say Smite is because it is third person. You do get a lot of the same cool things you got from, you know, the other Orcs Must Die games. You get traps and everything like that, different weapons. This actually looks really cool. I'm a huge fan of Orcs Must Die, and this is going to be like, I'm definitely going to buy this game and try to do a review on this game. Josh, what do you think about it?
I find it very interesting. As we were talking about, we played Orcs Must Die 2, which two-player co-op tower defense game. Orcs Must Die 1 was only a one-person tower defense game. Now they're coming out with this third game that's going to be a 5v5 multiplayer game, and they're talking about they are going to have you are going to be able to play against bots, with and against bots. So that'll be nice. I always like a game that includes that feature, especially for like trying out new champions and stuff. But yeah, 5v5 multiplayer. They describe it with a MOBA and a customizable card game. That customizable card game kind of comes into like, I guess you use cards to determine like what minions and what equipment you're going to use in the game.
Right.
As far like you can, the minions, as far as what it is different that from normal MOBAs, is that it seems like you're going to be able to tell minions when to go down a lane, what minions to go down a lane, when to do it. So you can kind of like strategize. You can send all your minions down a center lane and try to bust it down, or spread your minions out, or use specific minions to try to counter whatever enemy traps that the enemy team is putting up. So definitely some new game mechanics that we're seeing.
Yeah, no kidding.
A lot of MOBAs have been coming out. So we've got a lot of different MOBAs and a lot of different takes on the MOBA genre that have been coming out lately.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because, you know, I don't want to call this a MOBA, but it's hard not to, you know, because it is originally a tower defense game. But I really do like what they're doing here. I think this is a really cool idea. Did it buy any, or did you see anywhere on here where it said how many people you'd have to go against, or how many people you could have in your team?
Yeah, it's a 5v5. It's a typical MOBA, and so I think that's why they're classifying. Yeah, I think that's why they're classifying it as a MOBA. It is a 5v5. There's two bases, and you know it's a typical that kind of MOBA arena where there's two bases and you're trying to take down the other base. But they've got some different game mechanics thrown in there, much like some of the other MOBAs that we have been talking about lately have been trying to expand on that core experience. So it looks interesting. They did.
Yeah.
Orcs Must Die 2 was a fun tower defense game. This is kind of leaning away from tower defense a little bit and going into a little bit more MOBA. So, you know, we'll have to just see how they do on it, really.
Yeah, I'm really liking the idea. I really can't wait to play the game. It's going to be something really cool. And, I mean, like I said before, Orcs Must Die is a great series. I'm really glad to see them branching out to other things. I mean, even if it is a MOBA style, hey, I think it'll work. You know.
One thing I want to mention, I don't think we mentioned it, is that it will be a free-to-play game. They're still kind of figuring out, you know, how they're going to work the free-to-play system. So they really haven't commented on that that much, you know. But they said that Hudson says they're inspired by Riot's free-to-play model in the extremely popular League of Legends. While not quite as generous as Valve's Dota 2 free-for-all, and it goes on to talk about a few other things in that. But so they're talking about they really want to lean toward the League of Legends free-to-play. And obviously we've talked about that on the show, is how I really like League of Legends and Riot's free-to-play model. It is one of the best, if not the best, free-to-play model that I've ever seen in a game. And so if they're going for that kind of system, then it's definitely going to be a free-to-play game worth checking out.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I mean, anybody who plays League of Legends is probably in the same boat. I mean, Josh, between you and I, like, it's a free-to-play game. How much money do you think we've spent on this game? How much money do you think you spent?
Even though I've spent money, which I've probably spent, I don't know, under $100. I really haven't spent that much. I literally could be in the same spot right now that I am, just playing the game just slightly more. I mean, and mostly I've only bought skins for my champions. Like, so, you know, you can literally play League of Legends for free, completely free, without ever being at any kind of disadvantage. You just don't get those skins and stuff. And so I really enjoy that about Riot. It's a great free-to-play model, and it makes you want to pay for the game because it's a good game. It makes you want to buy things because you're not feeling like you're being forced, you know, to spend money on a free-to-play game. It's something that's like, oh, I want to play, you know, I want to spend money on the game because it's a great game, and, you know, I like the developers, and I like that it's free-to-play and I'm not being forced to buy anything.
Yeah, I've probably spent about I want to say maybe $250-$300 on it's probably around that mark. But kind of back to what you were just saying, you know, I really like free to play games. I don't like paying monthly for a game. But if the game is putting out content frequently, like at least once every other month, if they are at least putting out content. I mean, honestly, I would say a month, but I'm trying to be realistic, you know, for the developers. But so I'd say about every other month definitely needs, you know, footage out constantly. Content. I just can't justify paying $15 a month and not getting, you know, bang for my buck, which is kind of something I'm, you know, hoping WildStar will do. You know, kind of following along the same lines that Elder Scrolls did recently. Oh my gosh, I am sorry for those Elder Scrolls. Sounds.
Elder Scrolls totally have put out content fast. They're doing well in their post release. Definitely not the way TOR handled things. They didn't put out content fast enough. Totally excited, guys, about playing this weekend. If any of you have already pre-purchased it and have been playing, or if any of you else got a beta key, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. We'll try to hook up in game and play some. This game is going to be awesome. I'm really hoping it is anyways. I've been looking at this game for a long time. It's going to be really cool.
Speaking of which, we found a website that is giving away beta keys very easily. I mean, so basically what we want to do is, you know, like us on Facebook if you haven't already, or I'm sorry, if you already are on Facebook, go to our Facebook page and you'll find, we'll put a link to the website that will be giving away 10,000 beta keys for this weekend, which I believe is this week of weekend of the 17th, and which is the Friday that it's beginning. So like us on Facebook, you can go there. We'll post the link to the website, and you can go get your beta key. I mean, it took us maybe 2 or 3 minutes to put it in. So if you want to play WildStar this weekend, you know, this is the opportunity. You know, feel free to tell your friends about us too. But yeah, we're all looking forward to that. Actually, speaking of which, hopefully I should be able to stream that now that I think about it. I'm going to stream, you know, our adventures in WildStar throughout this weekend. And, you know, we'll talk about it in our next episode on what all of our impressions, our first impressions are of the game. And hopefully we'll be able to put out some video footage too, as long as there's no restrictions against us. So look forward to us next week for some WildStar footage. But anyway, what else is going on in the gaming world? Star Citizen. So we've finally got some real gameplay footage of Star Citizen. Josh, what is your thoughts on that? The dogfighting in particular.
Well, it wasn't real dogfighting. He's kind of just shooting at his own teammates.
Well, yeah, but we got to see some gameplay. We got to see some action going.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, for a early convention video, it was good. I would have liked to actually seen some, you know, actual combat instead of him just kind of firing the guns.
Yeah.
But, of what we did see, I really like the G-force physics in it, where the pilot kind of gets knocked around the cockpit a little bit. Absolutely. As you're turning around, you know, doing those tight turns and stuff. I like the graphics for the missiles and the lasers and the machine gun and all of that. That was really well done. You know, it's a beautiful game.
The graphics are absolutely amazing. I think that's probably the biggest thing to take at the moment from this game, is just how beautiful it is, and the fact that it's a space sim. I mean, and the fact that you can go, you know, seamless loading from your hangar bay, from, you know, your character walking up to your fighter, getting into the ship, closing the cockpit, the hangar doors opening, and, you know, you're ejected right out into space and into combat. I can't wait to see how this is with multiple players and multiple systems and everything like that. Actually, do we know by any chance how many players can be in one battle? I don't even know if they've released that information yet. Do you know by any chance?
Well, I mean, it's going to be an MMO, so I imagine there's going to be quite a, you know, large battles, open world, stuff like that.
Correct me.
Yeah, the actual...
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that what I liked most about the video, something that I was happy to see, that, you know, there wasn't a lot of fighting, but they did show off the physics of the game really well. The piloting, you know, if you take a turn too fast, the G-forces will kind of black out your vision, which I really liked. The fact that you could turn the ship and continue on your current trajectory with that speed and just kind of tilt your ship around and fly backwards. Mm-hmm. They've really done the space physics extremely well. I liked the part where he was behind the asteroid and he was just kind of making his ship go up and down and side to side. Yeah, you know, they've thought about the physics. They've thought about, you know, how things actually react in space. And you know, I wasn't a huge fan of the Battlestar TV show, but I did enjoy.
You're talking about Battlestar Galactica?
Space. Yeah, Battlestar Galactica.
Gotcha.
Yeah, totally got annoying with all the Cylons and crap anyways. But the space combat was really cool. You know, it was very realistic. It was very, physics-based. And I really like the sounds of, you know, all the muted sounds and stuff like that, because there is no sound in space. And so obviously that would be very boring for a TV show, but I did like that they kind of, you know, muted everything down and stuff. And so I was excited about that in the demo, is because that's something that they promised early on is that physics that they were going to be implementing in this game. And so I was excited to see it in action.
Yeah, it did look like it's going to be a really fun game. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did they ever show or confirm players manning the controls or piloting the capital ships?
Not that I know of.
Okay, I was not sure about that.
Yeah, so far there hasn't been any combat like this. The only modules that they've had is walking around the space hangars and stuff like that, and being able to look at the ships. And so far, I think it's only fighter craft.
Right. I wonder if you can actually like man a turret on a ship, on a capital ship. Or I wonder if they'll have fighter ships that, you know, two of you can go into, like one of you pilots, one of you, you know, controls other systems and controls guns, turrets, and other things like that. I think that would be kind of neat. But I'm not sure if they've said anything on that matter. I feel like that they might do something like that in the future. Purely,
yeah, which is totally purely speculative. But.
Absolutely. I apologize for the sounds. That is my Skype that was refusing to close. And somebody keeps messaging me. But anyway, So yeah, Star Citizen is looking absolutely amazing still, and it keeps impressing us every time we get new information about it. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Oculus Rift and any other VR that will be incorporated with it. I know we did see a little tidbit of the Oculus Rift being used with it, and it did look amazing. I'd love to see more of how that happens. So yeah, Star Citizen, I mean, we talk about it a lot, but we're really looking forward to that game. League of Legends, we've always get to
surprise
get a point to talk about League of Legends. Riot is coming out with an update for their game. It's supposed to be making their bots act more human. And the funny thing is, man, it took them this long. The bots have always been just far too easy. Far too easy to win against in the game. I mean, there was a point where I only played against bots just to try to learn the mechanics of a new champion. Now they're trying to make them more human, which to me means they're making them harder. There's a lot of things that they're talking about doing, things like jungling, going over walls, warding, which I actually think they may have already been doing things like that, but moving, you know, dodging, doing things like this. Josh, did you see anything in particular that you saw which was really cool from this?
I like that they have the threat gauge adjusted.
Right.
Bots kind of ran in and it would be 3 against 1, but you know, it would be level 18 against 311. You know, they didn't really recognize threats very well. They would take extra tower hits and stuff like that. And so allowing them just to make better decisions will make them harder, even though they're really not making them like trying to make them harder. They're just trying to make them smarter. I think that's totally a good thing. The reason it's probably taken them so long is because, you know, up until a little while ago, they were chugging out champions, you know, every two weeks. Champion. And they were trying to, you know, and keeping those champions, trying to keep them balanced and stuff takes a lot. But now as they have slowed down that production, they're just kind of coming out with champions, you know, whenever they can get around to it. Basically, they're able to put more effort into these other mechanics, like we've seen with the new queuing system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you can queue into to queue for a game. They've been able to, you know, just kind of generally improve the overall game quality and experience. And I think this will be nice for the bots. A lot of people, you know, just to get in a quick win, to just, you know, play the game, but you don't want the stress of a real game. Or like you said, you know, you pick up a brand new champion, you've never played him before, you don't want to go into a game and, you know, screw over your teammates, so you play against bots. And allowing the bots to be more human-like will improve your training so that you don't go into a real game doing something that you know, that worked on bots, but obviously aren't going to work on a real person.
Yeah, there was something I found it in another link that was like the script of basically what goes through the bots' minds basically when they approach different situations. And they talked about the anti-bot in one instance is going against Nidalee. You know, it calculates it has higher health than Nidalee. I'm sorry, no. Nidalee has higher health than Annie. Nidalee's Q is active and ready to fire. What does Annie do? Her action is to continue farming, and basically continue farming, even though the Annie is very much ready to die. Annie is told to keep farming.
Well, that was the problem with the bots, is like at the point where they got at like half health, they just ran. Mm-hmm. And they would keep running, and you would try to chase them. But, you know, obviously, most champions, you just can't chase down the bots past their turrets and all that. And so they would just, you know, keep running. You know, they wouldn't even try to recall it the tower. They would just run back to the base, you know, and it was just, that was the most annoying thing. That's been the most annoying thing about the bots is they just run away. And so you can't get kills, and they just, you know, and they obviously they don't get any, you know, money except for the predisposed extra money they probably get. And, you know, all the other little improvements that they probably get to keep them halfway on par with human players. But so I think this is a change for the bot system that, that definitely needs to be made.
By the way, here's the only thing. If they're making the bots more human, I hope, for the love of God, they don't talk as much trash as a human does. That's probably the biggest thing about League of Legends that I hate. Is the community is absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
They're gonna add a special feature to bots that allow them to teabag whenever they get a kill. That would be awesome.
But yeah, so that's something cool to look forward to. They're making bots, you know, smarter. So that'll be fun for those more casual League of Legends players. So we did a segment a few weeks ago called our rage segment, which basically where we're pissed off about something that just really kind of grinds our gears and something that we would really like to see changed. Well, this week, this one's rather interesting. Hang on, let me pull it back up here. So,
dude, you made me laugh when you said grind your gears. I thought about the Family Guy. Like, oh my God, he said it.
Oh man. Yeah. So anyway, dude, EA in particular, I don't know if I can completely blame EA, but it seems like lately Star Wars games are getting canceled or they're getting delayed.
Well, it's not EA. It's Disney. This whole transition between Lucas and LucasArts and giving all of those rights, including all of the video games that were in development and everything like that, were given to Disney. And Disney's like, I don't want to play, you know, I don't want to develop any of those stinking games that have already been in development. I'm just going to cut them all because they're dicks.
But see, I could have sworn that even though, you know, Disney did have the rights to Star Wars, I thought they had given EA the video game rights.
Disney's using EA to publish.
Oh, okay.
EA doesn't have Disney's the one that is giving EA the rights, or well, not the rights to develop.
They're giving the rights to
publish.
Going to
be the ones publishing it. And they've canceled a ton of games, man. They've obviously 1313 was canceled.
Yeah, and you know what's funny?
This new project. What's up?
What's funny about Star Wars 1313 is they canceled it, and then they revealed, you know, oh, by the way, this is about Boba Fett, and that just made it even worse for a lot of people, including me.
Yeah.
It was like that was twisting the knife, and you know, in the wound.
Yeah, that game would have been totally awesome if it would have been able to be fully developed.
It was so far into development too.
That kind of brought this up is new footage for a Darth Maul game that was being developed that was going to be similar to Force Unleashed 2, and that surfaced that this game was in development and now it's being canceled.
And see, they in that too, but they also modeled, they are not modeled, but well, whatever you could say, inspired by the Batman games, the Arkham Batman games. So just kind of imagine being able to free flow like Batman, but with, you know, as Darth Maul with the double bladed lightsaber.
The gameplay, man.
Did you see some
awesome of
it? Yeah. Okay.
Man, I mean, it looked freaking awesome. And you were fighting Mandalorians, dude. That was so cool.
Mm-hmm. That was what made it difficult, too.
I know, right?
Like, you're not
you know why they had to cancel this, right?
No.
It's because Disney's making Mandalorians pacifists. That's why they had to cancel it. They're like, oh, no, Mandalorians are fighting in that game. Can't have that. They're pacifists now.
That'd be really hilarious if that was what it was. Like, that's the only thing. It's like, instead of just rewriting the script, we're just going to cancel the game. Oh, man. Actually, I'd be really mad. I'd be really mad if that was the reason.
I'm mad that they even made Mandalorians pacifists, man. It's retarded.
It doesn't make any sense. I really hate that. Like, the whole thing about the Mandalorians through Star Wars history was that, I mean, they're the equivalent to the Spartans, basically. I mean, all they did and think about was war and combat. And now?
Nope.
Not anymore.
No, we're pacifists.
We're pacifists,
man.
Now.
Just the criminal people, you know, the rogue people are warriors, you know. They're abandoned on this moon or whatever. It's so retarded. I Disney is completely ignoring the extended universe. Like, they're like, nope, doesn't exist, you know. And if anybody tried to watch the cartoon, like, I tried to watch that cartoon that they put out, dude, I couldn't do it, man.
What, did it already come out?
The cartoon that's been in the works. It's Star Wars Clone Wars. It's been out for a year. There's several seasons.
Wait. Okay, you're saying Clone Wars, that was not produced by Disney, or are you talking about something else? Clone Wars is not produced by Disney.
Star Wars Clone Wars.
All right, yeah. Star Wars Clone Wars was not done.
It's fine. It still sucks. Whoever produced it is retarded. No. They're the ones that made the Mandalorians pacifist in their little cartoon.
Okay,
and
but
I think Disney's
that wasn't
going
Disney.
With it.
That wasn't Disney. Because Clone Wars has been out. Clone Wars has been out for a long time. But yeah, I'm still mad at Disney. I don't know. We'll see how they do in the movies too and everything. Like, if they stick to any kind of the extended universe like they did. I mean, I would personally like piss in my pants if I saw Kyle Katarn from, you know, Jedi Academy show up, you know, in the movie. But dude, that would be sick.
At least we have something that was in my quickie last week was that Amy Hennig from the Uncharted series has joined in with Visceral Games on a Star Wars project. So yeah. That's one Star Wars game. Then we got the one coming from DICE, which is obviously the Star Wars Battlefront game.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it's like, oh my God, give it to me already.
Which is also being powered by a Frostbite.
Frostbite 3. That game's going to be, oh my God, you know?
I'm really hoping that that's probably going to be like our new game that like the three of us play constantly. Because I played Battlefront 2. I played the mess out of Battlefront 2. I actually was thinking about going back and playing it again. And I can't believe how old it is.
Yeah, I actually did that, dude, a couple months ago. I was bored and I was looking through all my old disc, all my games, and I saw I had the the fan favorites box that had a bunch of the old Star Wars games, and Star Wars Battlefront and Battlefront 2 are on there. Yeah, and I totally loaded them up and was playing them. That game is awesome. Like, I played the first one and the second one forever.
Dude, well, how about this? Let's like set up a date where, you know, you and I play old Battlefront 2, or and then I'll stream it. You know, we'll give we'll blast to the past kind of thing for our fans and everything, and you guys, if you guys want to see some old time games, that actually would be kind of a cool thing to do weekly. I think, like, if we played some of the old games, the classics, every so often.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet, man. I miss the classics.
Dude, me too.
Obviously, the classics, man.
The funny thing is, for me personally, a lot of the classics are Star Wars games.
Well, I mean, you got the original StarCraft, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. You've got Age of the Empires 2, which was amazing. It's something that I played like nonstop when I was growing up. you got so many. You got Command, some of the older Command and Conquer games. You got Jedi Knight Academy, which I have been playing a little bit off and on lately. You got really awesome old games, like
No, it's
too many to count.
It's a lot. Maybe we'll do that sometime. But anyway, that's our show, guys, and we hope you enjoyed listening to Josh and I ramble on about different things, and we hope you guys really enjoyed it. Again, come back to come back to our Facebook page for information on that Wildstar beta key, and you know, like us on Twitter, which is, oh, by the way, I should probably tell you guys our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/ragequitradio, and you can like us on Twitter at MLR Rage Quit, and on Twitch at Rage Quit Radio on Twitch. Awesome. Well, thanks again, everyone. Thanks again, Josh, for joining me. Hope you guys have a great night.